Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Enel Américas' fourth quarter 2023 results conference call. My name is Gigi, and I'll be your operator for today. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one one on your telephone. You will then hear an automated message advising your hand is raised. To withdraw your question, please press star one one again. This presentation contains statements that could constitute forward-looking statements. These statements appear in a number of places in this presentation and include statements regarding the intent, belief, or current expectations of Enel Américas and its management with respect to, among other things, Enel Américas' business plans, Enel Américas' cost reduction plans, and trends affecting Enel Américas' financial condition or results of operations, including market trends in the electricity sector in Chile or elsewhere, supervision and regulation of the electricity sector in Chile or elsewhere, and the future effect of any changes in the laws and regulations applicable to Enel Américas or its subsidiaries. Such forward-looking statements reflect only our current expectations, are not guarantees of future performance, and involve risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors include a decline in the equity capital markets, an increase in the market rates of interest in the United States or elsewhere, adverse decisions by government regulators in Chile or elsewhere, and other factors described in Enel Américas' integrated annual report. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on those forward-looking statements, which state only as of their dates. Enel Américas undertakes no obligation to release publicly the result of any revisions to these forward-looking statements, except as required by law. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Rafael de la Haza, Enel Américas' Head of Investor Relations. Please proceed.
Thank you, Gigi. Buenos días, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our fourth quarter 2023 results presentation. I'm Rafael de la Haza, Investor Relations of Enel Américas. In the coming slides, our CEO, Mr. Aurelio Bustilho, will be presenting the main figures of the period. Let me remind you that this presentation will follow the slides that have been already uploaded into the company's website. Following the presentation, we will have the usual Q&A session, and questions, as you probably know, can be made both through the telephone line or through the webcast of Enel Américas, of the company. Now, let me hand over the call to Aurelio, who will start by outlining the main highlights of the period in slide number three.
Thank you, Rafa. During the fourth quarter of 2023, we have continued with our renewable generation plans execution, adding 600 MW of new capacity, totalizing 1.8 GW during the year. With this, our matrix is now around 90% renewable, in line with our energy transition goals. Adjusted EBITDA in 2023 increased by 9% compared to last year. This considers homogeneous perimeters, meaning that we are including results from Peru in both periods and excluding for 2022, Fortaleza, Goiás, CIEN, Costanera, and Dock Sud, as we do not consolidate those companies anymore. We are also excluding effects which had a negative impact of $108 million this year, and also are excluding a one-off effect registered last year in Argentina, coming from the agreement between Edesur and CAMMESA in connection with past debts. This improvement is mainly explained by better results in distribution business in Brazil and renewables business. Group net income reached $0.9 billion in 2023, an important improvement compared to the negative results that we had in 2022. This result is broadly in line with the guidance that we gave in our strategic plan presentation. Regarding our corporate simplification process, recently the antitrust entity in Peru, Indecopi, gave its approval to the sale process of Energy Distribution Peru. With this, we continue moving ahead on the disposal plan as announced. In the coming slide, let me show you a summary of our main indicators in an homogeneous view. This means excluding both periods sold assets, Fortaleza, Goiás, and Costanera and Dock Sud, and including Peruvian assets, which, as you know, are in sale process but still part of our operational perimeter. In generation business, we significantly increase our installed capacity and net production thanks to the deployment of new renewable power plants in line with our decarbonization strategy. In grid business, we increased our customer base in energy sold, while smart meters grew more than 2 times, reflecting the importance of electrification and digitalization of our company. Our financial indicators showed a very positive performance, improving EBITDA and net income, with our net debt to EBITDA ratio slightly increasing compared to last year. All this reflects that we are performing a solid manner and our main indicators are improving across our businesses. Let's now analyze our operational highlights in slide 5. In generation business, during this year, we have added close to 1.8 gigawatts of new renewable capacity. Considering the sale of Costanera, Dock Sud, and Termo Cartagena, we reached 14.6 gigawatts of installed capacity, from which 90% is renewable. Net production in the fourth quarter reached 11.3 terawatt hour, a decrease of 12% compared to the same period of last year. Explained by this deconsolidation of Costanera and Dock Sud, isolating this effect, production would have increased by 4%. Explained by higher generation in Brazil. From our total production this quarter, 88% is emission-free, a significant growth compared to 74% of the same period last year. Energy sales decreased by 12% during this quarter, reaching 18.4 terawatt-hour, mainly due to the change in the perimeter. Isolating this effect, sales would have decreased by 3%, mainly explained by lower sales in Brazil. On slide 6, we will focus on our development of renewable capacity. During 2023, we added 1.8 gigawatts of new renewable capacity, 897 megawatts in Brazil, 507 megawatts in Colombia, 300 megawatts in Peru, and 47 megawatts in Panama, with an investment of $1.3 billion. We are currently working on additional 0.8 gigawatts of capacity under construction, located in Brazil and Colombia. 0.2 gigawatts are wind projects and 0.6 gigawatts are solar projects. Most of this new capacity will begin operations during 2024, and only 20 megawatts will enter in 2025. Regarding our pipeline, we are considering 48 gigawatts of new capacity, total pipeline. From this amount, 20 gigawatts are in early stage, and 26 gigawatts are in mature stage. In addition to these, we have around 1 gigawatt of battery energy storage, and we are also considering 0.8 gigawatts of projects under construction already mentioned. Let's continue with Reed's operational highlights on next slide. Electricity distributed reached 29.2 terawatt hours in the fourth quarter, which represents an increase of 6% compared to the same period last year. In homogeneous perimeter, explained by higher sales in Brazil, Colombia, and Peru. Regarding number of customers, we had an increase of around 460,000 in the last 12 months, reaching 23.8 million customers. Smart meters increased around 2.4 times, reaching 709,000 in this period, mainly due to the deployment in São Paulo. Our net RAB has increased by 14% in the last 12 months, reflecting the significant investment that we have done in our grids. The ratio net RAB per customer also reflects an important growth of 12%. In terms of quality indicators, we can see a worsening in Argentina explained by the extreme high temperatures that we saw during the summer in 2023. In Colombia, the regulator changed the criteria used to calculate these indicators, which implied an increase both in SAIDI and SAIFI. And in Colombia, met the established regulatory targets, established targets and managed to exceed from 21% in SAID and 4% in SAIF in 2023. Regarding Brazil, despite the difficult climate events that we had in São Paulo and Rio during the fourth quarter, SAID remained flat while SAIF improved. Finally, in Peru, as we have seen in previous quarter of this year, we also have worse numbers due to a change in the calculation criteria compared to last year. In terms of energy losses, it improved in Argentina and Brazil, remained flat in Colombia, and increased in Peru. Let's analyze our investment of the period in the coming slides. During the fourth quarter of this year, our CapEx decreased by 45% compared to the same period of last year, reaching $772 million. Isolated the impact of changes in perimeter due to the disposals in Fortaleza, Enel Goiás, CIEN, Costanera, and Oxul, CapEx would have decreased by 39%. Mainly as a consequence of lower investments in generation business in Colombia and Peru. From the total amount, 65% was invested in Brazil and 22% in Colombia. While in terms of business, 52% devoted to renewables and 41% to grids. Growth CapEx reaches $409 million and was mainly devoted to renewables with 85%. Considering the accumulated period, CapEx in 2023 reached $2,963 million, 17% lower than 2022. Excluding the perimeter effects, CapEx would have decreased by 5%, also explained by lower investment in generation business in Colombia and Peru. Now I will comment on the financial results of the period in the next slide. The EBITDA in the fourth quarter reached $849 million, 31.5% lower than the same period of last year, mainly explained by the fact that we do not consolidate in Fortaleza and Goiás, CIEN, Costanera, and Oxul in this period, and to a significant one-off effect registered last year in Argentina in connection with the agreement between Edesur and Argentinian authorities regarding debts with CAMMESA, which implied a positive impact of $220 million. If we exclude this effect and also include the results in Peru, isolate the effect, we get to an adjusted EBITDA of $992 million, a decrease of 10.1% compared to the same period of last year. On a cumulative basis, adjusted EBITDA in 2023 increased by 8.6%, mainly due to better results in grids business in Brazil, due to higher tariffs and higher results in renewable business. Net financial results was a net expense of $233 million, which is a higher expense of 37.7% compared to fourth quarter of last year. On a cumulative basis, net financial results was a net expense of $742 million, mainly due to higher interest rates in Brazil and Colombia, coupled with an increase in gross debt in Colombia. Group net income in the fourth quarter reached $82 million, which represents an increase of 38% compared to the same period of 2022. This is mainly explained by negative impact registered last year coming from the sale of Energlas. On a cumulative basis, group net income was $864 million, which compares positively to last year's results, which was affected by the assets sold in Brazil. Finally, in terms of debt, we see a reduction of 4.7% compared to December 2022. We will analyze in detail our debt later on. On slide 11, we'll see an EBITDA evolution and breakdown. Starting from $1,239 million of EBITDA of the fourth quarter of 2022, we have to exclude $220 million coming from the one-off registered in Edesur in connection with CAMMESA debt agreement, and also $77 million coming from Enel Fortaleza and Goiás CA Costanera in Dock Sur in order to make it comparable with the fourth quarter of 2023. Then we see that generation grids and customer businesses had lower results compared to last year, mainly as a consequence of higher in energy purchase costs. With this, we get to an EBITDA of $831 million for fourth quarter of 2022, which is 13% lower than last year, considering the same period. Effects had a positive impact of $28 million, resulting in a reported EBITDA for this quarter of $849 million. As already mentioned, Peruvian assets are considered discontinued operations, meaning that its result is considered below EBITDA level. If we consider EBITDA coming from Peru, we get to an EBITDA of $1,024 million. From our reported EBITDA, 64% came from Brazil, 33% from Colombia, and 4% from Central America. In terms of business line, grids represent 59% of our EBITDA, and the generation 21%. Customers contribute with 11%. Let's see EBITDA breakdown on a cumulative basis in the coming slides. Starting from $4.2 billion of EBITDA in 2022, we have to exclude $638 million coming from asset disposal and one-off in Edesur. Then we see that we have positive operational results in generation and grid businesses, while customers decrease. With this, we get to an EBITDA of $3.9 billion for this period, which is 10% higher than last year, considering the same perimeter. Effect had a negative impact of $144 million, resulting in a reported EBITDA for this year of $3.75 billion, in line with the guidance given a few months ago in our strategic plan. EBITDA from Peruvian operations was $691 million, reaching with this an EBITDA of $4.4 billion. From our reported EBITDA, 60% came from Brazil, 37% from Colombia, and 3% from Central America. In terms of business line, grids represent 53% of our EBITDA and generation 39%, with customers contributing the remaining 9%. On slide 13, we'll have a focus on the cash flow of our company. Starting from an EBITDA of $3,749 million, net working capital amounted to -$615 million, mainly explained by the debt and pension provisions in Brazil. Tax paid during the period amounted to $643 million, while net financial expenses amounted to $869 million. With this, FFO, funds from operation, amount to $1,622 million, a decrease of $1,052 million compared to the same period of last year. After investment for $2,728 million, including the $1,508 million of growth capex, we get to a free cash flow of -$1,107 million for the period. Let me now analyze the debt of our company in the following slide. Gross debt amounted to $8.1 billion, an increase of 1% compared to December 2022, mainly explained by higher debt in Enel Colombia and Enel Americas Holding, partially offset by the deconsolidation of assets available for sale in 2023 and lower debt in Enel Rio and Enel Brazil. Net debt reached $6.5 billion, a reduction of 5% compared to the end of 2022. This includes free cash flow for -$1.1 billion, net dividends paid for -$345 million, extraordinary operations for $1.6 billion related to the sale of Goiás, Costanera, and Dockshoot. Net debt deconsolidation for $866 million, and FX effect for -$726 million. In terms of currency in country, we see that Brazil remains as the largest contributor, while the debt at holding level represents 15% of the total. Finally, regarding the cost of debt, we can see an increase for this period going from 10.5% to 12.2%, mainly explained by higher interest rates in Brazil and Colombia. On the next slide, I will conclude this presentation with some closing remarks. During 2023, we completed several renewable projects, moving ahead on our decarbonization strategy. At the same time, we have devoted an important amount of capex in grids businesses, boosting quality of supply, digitalization, electrification. We are really focusing aiming to improve quality indicators, quality protection for our customers in our perimeter. We have solid operational results and maintain the sound financial position, which allows us to execute our CapEx plan. Regarding our corporate simplification process, our asset disposals plan is well on track and the antitrust entity in Peru has approved the sale of distribution assets. We expect to have all the operations concluded in the coming months. Finally, let me remind you that at the end of April we'll have our shareholders meeting, and we'll deliver more information about it in the coming weeks. Rafael, please.
Thank you, Aurelio. Very clear. Operator, please go ahead for the Q&A session.
As a reminder to ask a question, please press star 11 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. To withdraw your question, please press star 11 again. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Our first question comes from the line of Javier Suarez from Mediobanca.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Aurelio and Rafael, for the presentation. Two or three questions on my side. The first one is on the level of debt and the net debt to EBITDA, and that is comparing your numbers with the target that you presented by the end of November. So I remember that at that time, I think that the company was indicating a net debt to EBITDA at 1.4 times, and the final number has been a little bit higher. I have seen that there has been probably more net working capital absorption than initially expected. So the question is, can you elaborate for the reasons why the debt seems a bit higher than what was indicated at the latest business plan update? Then the second question is on the operational side. On the slide number 5, you are showing the data, and during your presentation, you made reference to the adjusted numbers. I noticed that there is a decrease in the energy sales also on the adjusted numbers. So you can elaborate on the reason why there is this decrease on energy sales through the year. And the third question is if you can update us on the dividend policy of the company, and if you can update us on the level of comfort that you have versus the target that you presented in the business plan for 2024. Many thanks.
Thank you, Javier. Maybe Rafa could explain a little bit about the level of
Yes, the level of net debt EBITDA. Thank you, Javier, for your questions. Regarding the first question, as you know, you are right. We have a level of 1.7 times net debt to EBITDA. This is a level of EBITDA in which our ratio, in which we are comfortable. As you know, the commitment, let me say, that we have with the rating agencies is to keep the company below 2 times net debt to EBITDA. So we are in the right position. But let me remind you that this 1.7 is not considering the pension fund, the passive for the pension fund that we still have in Enel Sao Paulo. So we are comfortable with this level of net debt to EBITDA. Of course, this will be different when we will receive the cash or the proceeds when the sales of Enel Fregación Peru and Enel Distribución Peru will be completed. But as you probably know, as we commented during the presentation of the strategic plan of the company in November last year, we have substantially identified the 80% of the use of proceeds coming from the sales in Peru, no? Substantially liability management in Brazil and a potential, let me say, payment of the pension fund or the party for the pension fund that we have in Sao Paulo. So this is the situation. I repeat, we are comfortable with the current situation and with the current ratio. Maybe 2024 is going to be a little bit different because of this particular situation of the completion of the processes in Peru, but that's it. I repeat that most substantially 80% of the total proceeds coming from those sales are already identified.
Yeah, regarding the level of PPAs and the level of operation, of course, here we are not we are still considering here the numbers from Peru. No? I mean, we only remove the assets that we do not operate. So this is considered Peru. Of course, if you look forward, we will not see the generation in Peru. Regarding the level of PPAs, it doesn't affect what we showed before because we remove when we remove the assets, we remove the contracts that are related to the assets in this case. But let me tell you that we are perfectly in line from what we mentioned in our strategic plan. We have almost 100% contracted, yeah? And that's a small amount. Of course, it's normal. It's small decrease in the last year of the plan. I mean, 2026. No. But for here we are reflecting what we told in the plan, and especially in line of with Rafa told me regarding the level of leverage, we are very conservative in order to wait for the conclusion and the cashing of the operation, the selling assets in Peru. And in line with this, we maintain the decision of last year to maintain the payout in 30% of the company. Right? Mm-hmm. Of course, after the completion and after the efficiency plan and also the efficiency that we are presenting in terms of financial costs, we can readdress the situation for the next year. It's important to mention that this operation in Peru will impact very positively in the dividend from 2025 results in 2024 to be paid in 2025. So this is an interesting dividend. Regardless, we are in the minimum payout ratio allowed in Chile.
So, thank you very much, Javier. Director, I don't know if we have more questions from live, or we move to the ones that we have received in the chat.
Yes, we have another question. One moment. Yeah. Our next question comes from the line of Jordan Lozano from Calpa Securities SAB.
Hi, and good morning. I have one question. Regarding the sale of Enel Distribución Peru and the approval of the Peruvian antitrust regulator, in how much do you expect the deal to be closed? Is there another approval or process that you need to complete before closing the deal? Thanks.
Yes, thank you for your question, Jordan. You asked our expectation in terms of cashing or closing the deal. Closing the deal is a cashing, right? So your question is related to when we expected it exactly, right? If I didn't miss it, sorry to confirm.
When do you expect to be closed, the deal to be closed? When do you expect to exit the country?
Okay. Remember that we have. Please go ahead. Yeah, we are performing two sales, no? The distribution assets and generation assets. Distribution assets, we expect. We had the authorization from the Peruvian authorities. Now the buyer is waiting for the process and so on. We expect it by the end of March 2024. If maybe 2 weeks more or in the middle of April. is not so far from here. For the generation assets, we expect by the second quarter of this year. So total by the end of by the first semester, we'll have these operations, these deals closed with the cash-in in the company.
Thanks for the answer.
Thank you very much. Now let's move to the questions that we have received in the chat, starting with Banco Santander, Francisco Paz, two questions. The first question is about the situation that we see, or the noise around the disco segment in Brazil. And the question is the following: what do you see as the main risk for the company? How are the concessions discussions advancing? This is the first question from Banco Santander. And the second question is about in Colombia, El Niño phenomenon. And the question is the following one. Last quarter, you said your reservoirs haven't been impacted with these lower rains. Has that changed? What do you expect for the next quarters in Colombia? Those are the following, the two questions from Santander. Thank you, Francisco.
Thank you for the question. Well, regarding the concession renewal in Brazil, the process is moving forward. Everybody knows it's very clear. It is advancing. We have this all the technical discussion regarding the renewable the renewal of concession, and it's been very technically addressed, and also all the analysis done by the government and the company is moving in the right direction. Of course, we saw some movement during this week regarding a law project. With a radical change that, frankly speaking, the measure is not technical. They are moving from technical to political side. It is not good, but our experience in Brazil is that the institutionality, the checks and balances, and the proper addressing technical issues prevail. So we are very confident that this night things will not will lose force. Of course, we need to follow as companies, associations, society, communities, and also policymakers. We need to follow up this process and not allow insanity that would kill everything that we built during all these years in Brazil. All the improvements, and also what we need right now is measures to improve the quality, to improve the quality of our regulation, our infrastructure, and this kind of proposal, it's frankly speaking, it's not moving to this way, moving to a crazy way, so we need to correct this very, very in a very stronger way, and of course Republican way. So that's our vision. I am confident that the technical aspect of renewable will be respected. Regarding Edesur in Argentina, well, we announced the selling process in Argentina. We opened a process to sell this asset in the second semester of last year. It was in the middle of an election that we didn't, of course, they had the results, but at the end we saw that probably in considering the process and considering the new government announcements and so on and first measures, in order to a more market orientation, more responsibility in terms of the role of private companies in the, to support the sustainable growth of the country. We decided to put on hold in this process until we see the new measures and the new regulatory measures. That the first measure being, first silence is being good silence, and we do not lose anything waiting, and we can see what will happen in terms of these measures, these regulatory measures that the new government is applying in order to decide and to readdress this process again. But for now, we put on hold, waiting. It's a fair justification. We are waiting for a better conditions to add value to our efforts.
Okay. And really about the El Niño phenomenon in Colombia. That was the second question for José Paz.
Yeah, El Niño phenomenon affected us and affected every company that was exposed to this effect. But in our case, affected less than could be affected in terms of margins, considering the position of our plants, our portfolio of generation, which proves that we have a very sound platform of generation in the country. We expect this is a stationary situation. No, we expect this will disclose by the end of our summer, let's say, no, but we are ready to capture better conditions in terms of PPAs, and also to have good signs of pricing for new PPAs, for new projects, no? But we expect there is a projection that the El Niño will end and then will come La Niña. I mean this is the importance of this is to have productivity, to have very good pipeline of projects, portfolio of projects, and also in contact and very very good workforce in contact with the clients. In order to close good PPAs, in order to adjust and moving, being very proactive. We showed during the long run, during all these years in Colombia, that we've been doing a very good work in terms of contracting, in terms of hedging position. But last but not least, the way that we built this portfolio of generation in the country, which gives us this strong position in terms of trading of energy management in general. So I think the best way to deal with this is to strategically plan your capacity and to plan your capacity. You need to have a very good pipeline. We inaugurated a few weeks ago a solar project in Colombia, for example. One point of attention here is permitting. Permitting is something that, of course, we need a generation and we have everything. We have PPAs, but we do not have a permitting, and it delays the interest in the project. It is something that the country, not only the companies, the country, and also the society should be concerned and should improve the conditions to be. It is something that we as an operator and part of the Colombian plan to expansion its capacity, we should be clear with. And this is the best way to deal with phenomenal years and so on.
So we do not see any extraordinary situation considering the current season in Colombia. And as Aureli mentioned before, for the first quarter, probably we be neutral in terms of the impact. So no particular variations or changes.
So yeah. Just to add a point that we answered about Colombia, but of course it affected also our operation in Panama, for example, right? We had a hydro plant in Panama. So if you analyze Panama out of this Colombian perimeter, of course you see in 2023 a negative impact of $600 million or something like this, $60 million. But this is, of course, we are reviewing our position in order to compensate this effect and not to be so exposed there. But the whole system, the whole Colombian system, plus Panama, we are, as Rafa said, we compensate this effect and do not have any major issues.
Thank you. Now let's move to Moneda, a question which is from Rodrigo Mora, and the question is about the fines that we saw in El Sao Paulo due to the recent blackouts the month of November.
Yeah.
What is our feedback about this and the potential actions of the company?
Yeah, well, first of all, we see that these extreme events, they are more and more they are a reality, affecting cities, affecting countryside of countries, not only Brazil, all the region, and this is a reality. So in a broader vision here, companies, society, communities, policymakers, also with the support of academy, we should analyze this situation and improve measures in terms of responsibilities in transactions. It's important to have very clear who does what, not only for the extreme events, but before in a daily basis, in order to have very clear, because it is a reality. We'll face this. We saw this in the south of Brazil, we saw this in the in Argentina, we experienced the hottest weather in Argentina. Here in Santiago, in Chile, the hot weather and the burning events here. And in São Paulo, yes, it's São Paulo. Of course, São Paulo is a huge city with very concentrated customers. We have. Let me tell you that we have a regulation that does not reflect this reality. We should work together with the regulator, with the policymaker, in order to adjust this. Equipment, remunerated assets that does not reflect that is the limit for recognition in terms of remuneration, but it's pretty much lower than the level that we exist from the extreme weather. We should adjust this first of all. No? Sometimes we analyze a lot of average indicators, but at the end of the day, we need to really perform the customer centricity approach. So we need to think and to analyze if this average of failures and so on, we are not addressing the real question, the real issue that affects the customers at the end of the day, and they are the most important agent in this equation. From our side, we are. As we discussed, we invested, the level of investment of our company is high standard, high level, because we need to invest on this. We will keep on investing. You saw our investment plan that we announced last year. So this is very important. This investment should be assertive, focused in quality. There need to be investments that improve the perception and the quality of the clients, of our clients. That's what we are performing. We are improving our communication strategy, explaining very well what is happening, what is going on in our region, in our cities. That is affecting, I repeat, not only us, affected every company, and not only the electric sector, other companies, other infrastructure companies, industries, they are being affected too. So we need to present and to show very well and to ask for and to be part of the solution, implementing action plan and so on. We are reinforcing also our management in the country, in the countries, in Brazil. So we are reinforcing our side. To subterranean, to put in submerge or subterranean grids in order to improve the situation. Yes, this is part of the solution, but it will represent a higher cost for the customer. We need to have to be prudent on this. This could be a solution, but it can be a solution, but it takes time, it takes cost, and what we do right now. You know? I think one important thing that we have with this kind of operations with the Atlantic Forest is to do tree trimming. No? And tree trimming we can do in a very intelligent and a very smart way. There are analytics for this, but the bureaucracy that should allow us to, in the municipality, we need to work together in order to take advantage of this, especially during the period, because now we enter in the, let's say, in the beginning of the winter of. No, and in the autumn. No? So this is the best time to do the correct retraining and also provide with this a push for the vegetation. I mean, I'm just mentioning this because probably we are not addressing enough. That it's not depend on us. It depend on the municipality. If we do not have an approval on time in terms of dealing with vegetation, it will be problematic because, as I told you, the extreme events, they are, it's not a special situation that we have during a period. It will be more and more. So this climate issues, we only discussed the renewable, which is correct, and I think we should put effort on this in generation and coal emissions. That's right, correct, and so on. But there is a thing that we are feeling on a daily basis more frequently that, in my opinion, we should address and act together to solve and to minimize this impact in the same time we address the origin issues of climate change, right?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rodrigo. Very interesting question. Thank you, Rodrigo. Now let's move to Scotiabank, Tomas González. Six questions, but some of them have been already addressed, so let's concentrate on the new ones. The first one is about the level of leverage at the Enel Americas consolidated level after the payment of the expensive Brazilian debt that we are considering for 2024 and after receiving the proceeds from the sale of the Peruvian assets. The second question is about Enel Sur. If we are going to consider it to remain in the country, in the distribution business, if there is a change in terms of strategy. And the third one is about Coelce, the situation in Coelce. So okay, if you want, we can address the first one, how do we follow the level of science in terms of debt. So, Tomás, this is a very relevant question. So, as you probably know, and as I anticipated before to Javier from Mediobanca, the level of net debt to EBITDA at the Enel Americas level after the payment of the most expensive Brazilian debt and after receiving the proceeds from the sale of the Peruvian assets will be below one time. So we will be in a very comfortable situation once this transaction in Peru, or those transactions in Peru, will be completed and after the payment of the most expensive debt in Brazil, that will be close to $1.3 billion approximately. So this will be the picture in terms of leverage, in terms of ratio of debt to EBITDA in Enel Americas, I repeat, after receiving the proceeds from the sales in Peru and after the payment of the most expensive debt in Brazil, that will be around $1.3 billion.
Yeah, regarding the concession renewal, no? I answered a little bit. It gives me the opportunity to give you more color. The process, the technical responsible for this is the Minister of Energy, right? This is the concession, the power to give you the discussion. All this technical discussion is moving in the right way that we are seeing. There is no, it would be renewed, the concession for 30 years, with not removing the fiscal benefits and so on, respecting the contracts and requiring some social investment, important social investment that we need to do. So it's perfectly in line. We advanced a lot since the first proposal. So we are confident that this will prevail. What we had this week, was in the lower house, we had an approval of urgency of a law project, a project delay, that changes a lot, or changed completely the direction, reducing the time for 15 years, analyzing the situation of each distribution, obligation to subterrane the grids, consideration about distributed generation without planification. I mean, this is something that we believe that will not prevail. And in Brazil, we are very comfortable that the checks and balances, the institutionality, the respect with contracts will prevail, and it's been like this for all these years, so it will not be different this way, right? Thank you for your question.
We have two remaining questions from Scotia Long. The first one is about the SUR. If considering the new regulatory changes that we expect, if there is a variation in the strategy of executing Argentina substantially. And the final one is about the strategy to sell Coelce in the short term, if it is confirmed or not.
Yeah.
Or don't.
Well, I think, Lina, as I told you, we'll wait and see, right? Yeah, I think we all the market, I think we have good expectation of the improvements in general, all the macro improvements. And for now, it's on hold. This process is on hold. Let's see how it moves, and not only what is announced, what is being implemented. No, this is very important. In terms of COELSI, yes, it's also on hold, waiting for these discussions and this alignment in terms of concessions. It's very difficult to, in the short term, to put, let's say, this process as a priority right now with all these discussions of concession renewals, because it's touching the heart of the company. So we need to wait the conclusion of this. Having said this, our estimation is probably by the end of this year, we'll reanalyze the situation and see what actions we'll do. We are not in a hurry. I mean, we are not in a. We want to analyze the correct time to have this decision, considering that lots of important things, important regulatory issues, are moving forward to determine the correct value for those assets, and again, analyze if it makes sense or not. Thank you for your question.
Thank you for the question, Tomás. Thank you, Emilio. Let's move to Gustavo Faria. We remain in Brazil, and the question are about our strategy in the future for the assets in Sao Paulo and in Rio.
Thank you, Gustavo. For now, the strategy is to maintain the assets, to improve the quality of those assets, improve the quality of the clients, the quality of supply, invest in the grid. In case of Rio, we are focusing on a special issue related to losses that we've been discussing with the regulations. I mean, nothing different. São Paulo, we are confident that we are, and the numbers until now showing that we've been doing a very good turnaround of the with the operations. I mean, there's no expectation to change anything.
Okay. Thank you, Cristóbal Muri. The question is about the Brazil distribution business, and the question is the following: why did distribution energy sales in Brazil increase over the quarter over the quarter, and why did the average selling price decrease? Do you expect this trend to continue?
I don't know if I understood correctly. Brazil distribution,
yes. And it's about the second one is about the pricing or the prices dynamics for the future in Brazil. And the first one is about the energy sales that are increased quarter over quarter.
Yes. Well, Brazil depends a lot in when you compare Brazil, I mean, if you see São Paulo and Rio, it depends a lot on temperature, right? If we have a hot weather, we'll have a higher consumption. The tariff is already settled. There's no difference on tariff because if I consider the because it's compared to the last quarter of 2023, the last quarter of 2022, right? The tariff changes because we performed a tariff reset in July in case of São Paulo, and in March in terms of Rio, right? So the part of quarter, you see that there is a change in the tariff reset, and it's a normal change related to the asset base that were revised. The tariff increases a little bit. I mean, around 5% in one company, around 4% other company. It's a normal increase. In terms of quantity, for for São Paulo, I repeat, it's a variation or an impact of the summer. I mean, if it is hottest in the midsummer compared to the other, will be higher the consumption, right? And this happened in 2023. So, but it's a normal issue. It's more related to the to our activity and operation, right? Ceará is a little bit different. Ceará depends on hydrology. If it doesn't rain, the industry, the consumption of water, they need to use more energy in order to have water during this this dry period. It's exactly what we saw in the fourth quarter of 2023. Despite it is not exactly the months that required more. More activity in terms of water, needs for the water dry season. It's difficult to analyze Brazil as a whole company. We are totally available if you want to with our investor relations director to analyze these movements company by company. State by state, I think it's interesting because when we analyze the country, we are mixing lots of situations. Last but not least, remember that 2023, right? We had tariff resets with all our companies in Brazil, right? So this is a very important. The name is it's a reset, so it, you start with a new level of tariff due to RAS, due to pricing, inflation, but mostly due to asset, remunerated asset-based adjustment. So we need to analyze it by company by company.
Okay, thank you. Cristobal, thank you, Aurelio. We didn't see more questions on the screen, so let's conclude this conference call. We are very satisfied with the 2023 results in Enel Americas, in line with guidance announced 1 year and a half ago. Perfectly in line and growing up, let me say, with our business as usual. So we conclude the conference call, as I said, but let me remind you before finalizing that the investor relations team, as usual, is available for any further detail or any doubt that you may have in the next coming days. We wish you all a very nice weekend. So thank you again, and see you next time.
Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.